Welcome back to this week's episode of the Northeast Newscast. This week, Outreach Coordinator Matt Riggs from the Mid-American Regional Council Solid Waste Management District is joining me to discuss all things recycling, from the challenges to the urban core faces in reducing waste to hard-to-recycle items, composting, and more. This episode of the Northeast Newscast is brought to you by Shemeika's Online Market in Delhi and the American Jazz Museum. Thanks for joining me, Matt. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Great. If you just want to give me a little introduction into what your agency does, that would be great.
Sure. So we're the MARC Solid Waste Management District. We're a regional solid waste planning agency for local governments in Cass, Clay, Jackson, Platte, and Ray counties in Missouri. And because we're part of MARC, we also work cooperatively with Kansaside counties, so Leavenworth, Wyandotte, Johnson, and Miami counties as well. And our goal is simple. It's just to keep things out of the landfill and put them to better use. And we do this through a number of different efforts, including we provide grant funding, technical assistance, regional strategic planning, outreach and education resources, such as this interview we're doing today. And we also manage the regional household hazardous waste program.
Okay, so it seems like you have a lot of ground to cover there. You know, besides all the counties that you cover are pretty diverse in that, you know, some are urban, some are rural. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest importance behind environmental education for this wide variety of, you know, residents?
Well, for recycling specifically, I mean, it has a number of benefits. You know, first one that always comes to people's mind is the environment. And obviously, it helps the environment because it conserves resources, it conserves energy, it reduces the use of landfill space, it helps prevent climate change at the landfill level. So there's all kinds of environmental benefits, but I think people don't realize there's also social and economic benefits. So economically speaking, most recycling jobs are local. So when you recycle, you're really supporting the local economy because the people that collect and sort and process all your recyclables work right here in the metro area. And then socially speaking, it's like, you know, the last time you recycled a can, you probably weren't thinking, yeah, I'm doing something good for my health or for society. But when you think about, especially related to health, recycling has an indirect impact, but it's still a serious impact. And that is, you know, all the materials we use in our lives, whether that's food, clothing, cars, homes, all those things require a lot of energy to produce and create a lot of pollution. And so when we're reducing that through recycling, we're saving energy and reducing pollution, and pollution doesn't know any bounds. So it's in our air that we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat. So recycling is pretty important to do.
Sure. It seems like more, you know, a very collective effort. You know, the air doesn't stop at your neighbor's house if mm-hmm. they recycle, you know. So what are some of the major struggles for recycling, you know, in the urban core, like the Northeast?
Well, some of the major the biggest problem is lack of education. And what I mean by that is that waste haulers or cities or recyclers provide little to no education, which leaves the average resident or household unaware of what goes in their bin and what shouldn't go in your bin and that type of thing. And because of that, we have very high contamination rates. The average is about a quarter, 25% of what goes to the material recovery facility, which is where all your recyclables are sorted. About 25% of that is contamination and just has to be thrown out. And that's largely because there's a total lack of education of the recycler. So they're just engaging in what we call wishful recycling, which is, I want to recycle it. I'll throw it in my recycling bin. Somebody's bound to recycle it down the line. But the problem is the MRFs only accept materials that they have an end market for, that they can make money off of. So if there's no end market, it's not recyclable. So you know, your old furnace filter or your styrofoam takeout container or your garden hose, you may think, hey, I want to recycle those, but they don't have an end market for those. So when they get to the MRF, they go straight to the trash.
True.
So
I think I visited a recycling center a couple of years ago, and one of the most surprising things to me was that you can't recycle, you know, your greasy pizza box, which I think a lot of people do that, you know, with good intentions, but
right.
if it's covered in grease or cheese or whatever, you know, it's not right. doing anybody any good.
So, you know, for the diehard recycler, you can actually cut the box in half because the clean top is perfectly recyclable. You know, there's no grease or anything usually on the top. So you can cut the box in half, put the top in your recycling bin, and then the dirty bottom can either go in the trash, or if you have a backyard compost bin, you could throw it in there because that kind of paper is excellent source of carbon for compost piles.
Sure. So what are some of the, you know, major education points that you really focus on when you teach people who might not be familiar with recycling?
Well, I'll hit some of the highlights of my presentation that I normally give. So our presentation is normally kind of divided into what goes in your curbside bin and what you can recycle that's not curbside, but you can drop off somewhere. So in the curbside bin, most people are familiar with, you know, you can put, you know, aluminum tin cans, plastic bottles and containers, mixed paper, cardboard, that kind of thing. But there's a lot of items. It's almost more important to tell people what not to put in the bin. So the big three categories are, first and foremost, plastic bags. People always throw plastic bags in loose, or they mistakenly put a lot of their recyclables in a plastic bag and then put that plastic bag in the recycling bin. But the problem is anything in a bag, a hauler considers trash. So it doesn't matter what's in that bag, it's going in the trash. So you definitely don't want to put plastic bags in your recycling bin. Another one is styrofoam. You know, a lot of people have, especially nowadays with COVID, a lot of carryout containers. And so they see a number 6 on their styrofoam takeout that they got down the street and say, like, oh, that's recyclable. They throw it in. Well, no food grade styrofoam is recyclable in the metro area. In fact, no styrofoam at all should be going in your curbside bin. And then last but not least there's a lot of paper food related items. We already talked about pizza boxes. But basically, any of the following plastic coated food containers are not recyclable. And those include like frozen food containers, takeout boxes, fast food containers, you know, the Starbucks cups. People are always saying, hey, can I recycle my Starbucks cup? Well, not the cup. You can recycle the lid and the sleeve, but not the cup. And also people think, well, my disposable paper plates and bowls and cups are all paper, so I can throw those in. Well, they don't want them. First off, because they're usually pretty heavily contaminated with food, but also because they have a thin plastic coating on them, which makes them non-recyclable. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the tips that I give on curbside recycling. In terms of streams that you can recycle that are outside the bin that you would take somewhere, our top three that we get questions about all the time are paint, TVs and computers, and mattresses. So with paint, basically all the people that probably read the Northeast News will live in the Kansas City, in Kansas City, Missouri, and they have free access to the household hazardous waste program that the city provides. So they can take paint and household hazardous waste consists of anything with the words danger, warning, or caution on the label. Sure. So this is any of the poisonous or dangerous stuff that lives in your garage, under your kitchen sink, in your medicine cabinet, even, you know, even stuff like hair coloring and nail polish is highly toxic stuff. So all that can go, if you're a KCMO resident, for free to the household hazardous waste facility. And then another very popular one is old TVs and computers that, you know, just coming out of the woodwork. People want to know, can those be recycled? And they can. So you can take those, a lot of those you can take to places like Best Buy, Office Depot, Staples. They take a lot of consumer electronics back, you know, including like iPads, iPhones, TVs, computers, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And then there's some places like a Midwest Recycling Center that take literally anything that runs on a plug or battery. So that's a lot of stuff in your house, from coffee makers to TV remotes to your kids' toys, etc. And then mattresses are, you know, everybody ends up with an old mattress they need to get rid of at some point, and box spring. But those are 100% recyclable now in the metro area. There's an organization called Avenue of Life, which recycles the entire box spring and mattress. So springs, wood, foam, you name it, it gets recycled. There's also another place that will take gently used mattresses and will clean them up and donate them to people who literally don't have a bed to sleep on.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, so those are some of the major waste streams that we always get questions about, but that there are recycling options for.
So, I mean, some of those things that you mentioned we couldn't put in our curbside recycling sounds like they could be reused, like, you know, grocery bags. I know I usually try and use reusable ones, but right now with COVID and everything, they're saying don't bring your reusable bags. But, you know, you can always find uses for, you know, those grocery bags at home and stuff. Or a big thing I'm always noticing that people are trying to recycle in Kansas City is glass. You know, are there any programs that people could, you know, recycle their beer bottles, their wine bottles, you know, things like that in Kansas City?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of options available. Those can't go in your typical commingled recycling curbside program, but there are Ripple Glass is the glass processor here in town, and they have, if you've seen them around town, large purple metal dumpsters, usually in grocery store parking lots, sometimes in liquor store parking lots, and you can drop off, you know, all your bottles and jars there, green, brown, blue, clear, doesn't really matter what color, but all your food and beverage containers can go be recycled there. And also on Ripple Glass's website, they have a number of curbside services. So you can subscribe for a curbside service where they'll bring you a bin and charge you a small fee, and they'll do like weekly or biweekly pickup at your curb. So there are definitely lots of options for glass.
Yeah, that's great. So what is one thing, you know, that everyday people can do to help the cause towards like keeping the planet clean? You know, some people think on a small scale basis, one household or one person doesn't make a big difference, but do you think they do?
Yeah. I mean, especially when you consider that every other household that, like, let's say at the neighborhood level, has basically the same type of trash you do and the same type of questions you might. So what we recommend is that, you know, people, if they have anything they're wanting to get rid of, and they're not wanting to throw it away, get on our website, which is recyclespot.org, and type in whatever it is you want to get rid of, and we have options on that website for you. We also have on our homepage the Recycle More, Recycle Better flyer, which is a real quick overview of everything that can go in your curbside bin and everything that shouldn't go in your curbside bin. But if it can't go in your curbside bin and it has like a little blue asterisk on it, it says that is recyclable somewhere else. So that's a real quick, good overview that I encourage people to get on there, print it out, put it in your kitchen above your recycling and trash bin, inside a cabinet door, that kind of thing as a quick reference. And those are great ways. And also share that information with your, you know, friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers, because everywhere I go, people have the exact same questions. So if you don't know if you don't know it, chances are your neighbor or coworker doesn't know it either. So,
okay. And what amount of household trash is recyclable? You know, there's some things that we're not sure about and some things that we need to work on, but if you were doing it perfectly, you know, how much could you recycle?
If you're doing it perfectly, I would say, I don't have an exact percentage, but I'd say most of what you throw away can either be recycled, you know, donated, reused, or composted. So if you do a really good job of those things, you should have very little. So I have four people living in my household, and we generate basically one kitchen-sized bag of trash a week, and everything else gets recycled, donated, or composted. So, so that trash is pretty much, you know, plastic wrappers that can't be recycled, you know.
Sure.
Random stuff, but really a large percentage of it, especially when you composting is extremely important, and it makes up like 20-30% of our household trash. And so for the average household, compost is basically food waste, so anything you don't eat or that goes bad, and yard waste, like leaves, grass, brush, that kind of stuff. So if you're composting all that, that's really helping to keep that out of your waste stream.
Yeah. So do you have any tips for people who are living in apartments or in places that don't have a lot of green space but want to start composting?
Yeah, I think two or three different organizations in town that provide curbside pickup of your home compost. So they'll bring like a little, you know, 3 to 5 gallon bucket. Actually, I think they have like a 1.5 up to 5 gallon type buckets that they can bring. And they'll pick up on a weekly basis from like your apartment or townhouse or wherever. So that's a great way to do it. If you're wanting to do it like in your home and you live in an apartment, there's some other options. There's vermicomposting, which is basically composting with worms. It's like, wow, I want worms in my apartment. But it's a totally self-contained system. And you put your food waste in there and the worms eat it and passes through the worms and becomes excellent plant food. There's also a method called bokashi, which is based on fermentation. And you can use that in a small space like an apartment. So even apartment dwellers have options.
That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. good to know.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break to recognize our sponsors. The American Jazz Museum has reopened with proper safety precautions in place. Visit their latest exhibit, Saxophone Supreme, The Life and Music of Charlie Parker, through December 31st at 1615 East 18th Street. For more information, visit AmericanJazzMuseum.org. Shemeika's Online Market in Delhi, offering catering and nationwide shipping at shemeikasonline.com. Find their new deli at 16th and Swift in North Kansas City. Shemeika's, where customers become friends and friends become family. And now back to the newscast. So you're also involved with the Kansas City Environmental Education Network. Do you want to tell me a little bit about the education side of your job? You know, do you usually go talk to, say, elementary school students or neighborhood associations, you know?
Well, with the Kansas City Environmental Education Network, that goes beyond recycling. I mean, it's basically improving and expanding environmental education in the K-12 demographic throughout the metro area. So KCE is more of a network of local environmental education providers. So some examples are the Kansas City Zoo, Blue River Watershed Association, places like that that have resources and programs where they do outreach and work even in the classroom with K-12 students to improve environmental education at all levels. So it's a great network of local groups trying to do that. But in terms of like going out and presenting, you know, before COVID hit, I often do recycling presentations at schools as my alter ego, Eco Elvis. So Eco Elvis is the environmental Elvis that does a whole reduce, reuse, recycle show at schools. So that uses, you know, humor and music to get the message across at schools. So that's kind of one of the outreach things I do.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the great thing about teaching kids this stuff at a young age is it becomes such a habit. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they're adults, they're not even thinking about it. It's just like, oh yeah, recycle. That's something we do. Do you think that's something that, you know, has become more important recently?
Yeah, I think as the world realizes that climate change is a real threat, and that the way we produce and use goods and services has a definite effect on the climate. People are becoming more aware, like, what can I do to help mitigate climate change? Well, one thing is to do very good recycling, reuse, and composting. And kids are, you know, the best, one of the best audiences, because they get it right away. There's no debating, like, is this good, is it bad? It's like, they know it's good. They want to do it. So we got to make sure that they have the opportunity to, you know, so got to give them what they need, whether that's at home or at school, to be able to do that. And a lot of times what that comes down to is having a good program in place that takes a wide variety of stuff for recycling and reuse. So we have a program called Recycle More at Work, which is designed to help organizations. And by organizations, I mean any type of organization. So businesses, government offices, nonprofits, schools, churches. It's a program designed to help them improve their recycling program. So that way, you know, if a kid's going to school and they're wanting to recycle, they can, because they have a collection system set up for those types of items at school. So that's another program we offer.
Sure. Do you think, I'll just say, I just moved here from New York and we were able to turn in our cans for, I think, like 5 cents each, and our bottles for like 6 cents each or something like that. Do you think incentive programs like that in Missouri would encourage more people to recycle?
I think it would encourage a certain sector of people to recycle more, just because there's, you know, a monetary rebate, basically. And a long time ago, like 40 years ago, they had, you know, bottle take back programs and stuff like that. But I don't see any of those coming to fruition anytime soon, just because there's a lot of administration that goes into establishing those programs. So you have to have basically a whole, you know, staff and billing system and all those kind of things in place to enact something like that, especially at the statewide level. I don't think we're going to have any bottle bills, et cetera, anytime soon. But it is, you know, incentives are always good. So.
Sure. Or even just, I think, making it more convenient. Like I know, right across the street on Independence Avenue, we just received a grant for, I think, 20 new recycling bins that are going to be going in next, I guess, in November. And they're already talking about, you know, how can we make this as easy as possible on people? Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to have signs that say which items can be recycled, which items should go in the trash, things like that. Mm-hmm. Do you think those convenience measures do any good to help clean up whole communities, like in general?
Well, convenience is a key component to having successful recycling. You know, you have to make it just as easy as it is to throw something in a trash can. And you have to be very specific about what can and can't go in that recycling bin. In terms of, you know, the overall litter level in a given neighborhood or something, having a good, like, public recycling and trash system in place helps, but there's, you know, unfortunately there's more to it than that. I mean, that's more of almost a cultural thing that you have to learn while you're growing up, is that it's not good to just throw stuff on the curb, you know? So that's more of something you have to learn from your peers and your family growing up. That's not an acceptable practice. So, you know, it doesn't matter if there's a recycling bin, you know, 10 feet away from you, if you've never learned that, hey, you know, it's okay just to throw that can on the ground, you'll just throw it on the ground. So, but convenience in terms of recycling is a key component to making it successful.
Sure. And, you know, our neighborhood's plagued by things like large scale illegal dumping, abandoned vehicles. You know, it's a much larger problem we face than just recycling. But are there any ways that the Solid Waste Management District could help our area in areas like that?
Yeah, I mean, like I was telling you earlier, we have a grant program that helps individuals and organizations that are wanting to do some form of recycling, etc. And one of the things that we are allowed to fund is illegal dumping remediation. So, for instance, if the Northeast neighborhood came up with a really good plan for how they're going to address illegal dumps in terms of cleanups and awareness and education, if they put together, if the neighborhood put together a proposal that our grant review committee would like, you know, it's like, yeah, they've got all their ducks in a row. There's no reason why it wouldn't get funded. So I definitely encourage neighborhoods that are wanting to do something about illegal dumping to come to us. And we can definitely, if they're not sure where to start and what elements to include, we can basically coach them through that and walk them through, you know, this is what you'll need to get the money and resources you need to address the problem. So, yeah, we can definitely do something about or help the neighborhood do something about illegal dumping.
Yeah, that's great. I hope somebody out there is listening.
Yeah.
So how many grants does your agency give out each year?
Well, we just had a grant round and we, I think we had our grant review committee meeting yesterday and I think we had 13 total applications. Now, not all those will get funded. But that's kind of been around average. You know, we generally get about 13 or, you know, say 15 to 20 applications, and we fund a fair amount of those. Not all of them get funded because some of them have, you know, major components that we require that are missing. But it, you know, like I said, we're open to, you know, our grants are available to, you know, schools, churches, individuals, neighborhoods, businesses. You know, as long as you have a great plan in place for how you're going to address your issue, whether it's recycling or composting or donation or something like that, or illegal dumping, as long as you have a good, you know, proposal, then we'll consider it for funding. So,
sure. And where does your agency get its funding?
We get our funding from the tipping fees generated at the landfill. So every time an individual or a business dumps something at the landfill, you're charged a tipping fee, which is like a per ton fee for how much trash you're putting in the landfill. So the state of Missouri collects those and then redistributes those out to the solid waste districts. And we're one of 20. You know, we cover five counties, but there's 19 others that make up the rest of the state that cover, you know, anywhere from, you know, 3 to 5 counties apiece. So that we basically get our money from the tipping fees that people pay at the landfill.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your website, recyclespot.org. What other types of things can people find on there? You know, if they have hard to recycle items, could they look up where they're supposed to take those?
Yeah. So we have a section right on the homepage down in the right corner. It says, what do I do with? And if you click on the What Do I Do With square, it brings up a huge menu of basically everything, kind of almost A to Z, that you can recycle, reuse, or compost in the metro area. You know, so we have options on there for, you know, building materials. We have options on there for, you know, old motor oil that you may have hanging out in your garage. Pressurized tanks, such as what do I do with my old, you know, camp stove tank from my camping lantern or something like that. So basically, if you're wondering, like, well, what can I recycle? If you get on there and look at that list, that gives you a pretty good idea.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot more than people realize can be recycled or reused or repurposed. Great. Is there anything else that you think is important for people to know when they're trying to start getting recycling?
Basically, you know, if you're a KCMO resident and you live in the Northeast and you're in a single family home or like an apartment unit with 6 units or less, you need to start by getting a recycling bin. And if you look on the city's website, which is kcmo.gov, there's a, you know, trash and recycling icon right in the middle of that. If you click on that, if you drill down a little bit, there's information on where you can buy those bins. I think they're currently about $9 a piece, and they sell them at places like Price Chopper and Westlake Hardware, I think, are the two companies that work with the city. So you can go to one of those designated places and buy a bin. And the next thing I recommend is, you know, print out the Recycle More, Recycle Better flyer off our website, which is the perfect, pretty comprehensive guide to what should and should not go in your bin. And then, you know, if you have other stuff to get rid of, like I said, you know, search for it on recyclespot.org. We have hundreds and hundreds of locations that take all those items that I spoke about. So, or we also have the information line, which is 816-474-8326. So if you have a question you can't quite figure out an answer to, or you can't find it on recyclespot.org, if you call that number, we can, you know, you can talk to a live person, which is usually myself or my coworker, and we can help you find, you know, an option for what you're trying to recycle.
Yeah, that's great. And so how many people are involved with the Solid Waste Management District in Kansas City?
Well, there's three of us on staff, and then our the district is run by a management council and executive board, and those members are made up of representatives from local cities and counties, and it's kind of based on population. So we have, like, you know, so many from cities over 10,000, so many from cities and counties under 10,000, that kind of thing. But in terms of staff here, there's the three of us.
Sure. And it sounds like you have a great network of, you know, other resources, like you were saying, Ripple Glass, mm-hmm. and you, it all seems like you work together and collaborate on a lot more things than just what you're able to do with three people.
Right. Yeah. So we do. We have, you know, basically anything you want to get rid of, we generally have a better option than throwing it in the trash. So no matter what it is, give us a call or get on recyclespot.org and we can help you find it.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and joining me today.
Sure, Abby. Thank you.
And that was Matt Riggs. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Northeast Newscast. And thank you to our sponsors, the American Jazz Museum and Jamaica's Online Market in Delhi.